Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Early Tuesday morning, the rapper Takeoff, as many of you know, was shot and killed in Houston, Texas. He began topping the charts as one of the members of the platinum-selling rap trio Migos, who Rolling Stone recently called arguably the biggest rap group in the world. The day before he died, he had released the video for the new single Messy with one other Migos member, Quavo, their first, as a rap duo. He was just 28 years old. In celebration of his life, we wanted to take a closer look at his work with Migos and put it into the context of the rise of Southern rap music. That's a genre within rap, for those of you who don't know, particularly its current iteration called trap, which has grown over the last three decades to become an incredibly popular genre. Joining me now to discuss all this and more is Brianna Younger, freelance music writer and editor. In addition to bylines in The New Yorker, The Washington Post, Rolling Stone, and other places, in 2020, she led a team of music critics and scholars in creating a canon of Southern rap music called The South Got Something to Say, a celebration of Southern rap. We're going to hear some music clips. We're going to talk. Brianna, welcome to WNYC. Thank you so much for coming on to this.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Before we get into the history of the genre, let's introduce listeners who might not be familiar with Takeoff and Migos. According to Rolling Stone, Takeoff began rapping with Quavo and Offset, the third member, who those two are his uncle and cousin, respectively, in 2008, releasing a debut mixtape in 2011. So let's take a listen to one of their earliest hits off of that mixtape called Versace. This part is Takeoff's verse.
You can do chewing, I do it, Versace. I do got the Honda, you do it, the Mazzy, I do smoke the meat, you do it, Zaddy, I do set the train, you get classy, cooking the dope like I work at Hibachi, looking and watching blah hot like some tacky.
So in an article titled "The South is Rap's Past, Present, and Future," you write, "The flow that launched a thousand debates, Migos' signature triplets, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, as we just heard, have become the de facto default mode in the years since they first burst through the ether of the internet. That, combined with their ad libs, is what makes the music really unique." So how would you characterize the sound the Migos created?
Yeah, the Migos sound, as we kind of just heard, like it made use of this triplet flow, which they didn't necessarily invent, but the way they did it just sounded so explosive, like almost like a cascade of syllables that kind of like bounce off the beat. And as we kind of heard, it's contagious. Like it kind of makes you want to like imitate it a little bit, nod your head. It was just something that was one of one, and the three of them would do it and kind of like bounce off each other. And it was just truly electric.
Triplets, just very simple, you know, for those of you not trained in music, really fast sets of three, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And you were hinting at some debate there. How was the mixtape initially received? What was being debated?
Well, they didn't really start to catch national steam until YRN, which came out in 2013. And, like, the origins of their flow became this grand topic of debate because people were so enamored and kind of credited them with inventing it, but it had predated them by, you know, several years. Like 3-6 Mafia in Memphis, Tennessee did it. Bone Thugs and Harmony in Cleveland, Ohio were doing it. This was in the 90s. But the Migos kind of just were so, like, they were just sucking all of the oxygen out of the room at the time. And then there's this whole, like, Migos are greater than the Beatles thing, which was definitely kind of a troll, but it also just spoke to how impactful and, like, beloved they were when they were coming out.
We'll listen to more clips as we go. We can take some phone calls here, too. Fans of the Migos or Takeoff or Southern rap in general, what do you think belongs in the canon, if we can call it that, of Southern rap? 212-433-WNYC. What did Takeoff mean to you? 212-433-9696. 92. The NPR project was inspired, I see, by something that Andre 3000 said at the 1995 Source Awards. The South got something to say. Southern rap, according to the canon you organized, has been around since the late 1980s. And at the risk of severely oversimplifying, how has the genre found its own roots? Can the evolution be pinpointed to specific moments? And is there something about the geographic South of the United States that you hear?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say moments so much as eras and places. Miami bass was extremely important in the 80s to laying the foundation for a lot of what Southern rap would eventually sound like, and actually is a sound that's coming back today through like the City Girls and Usher song. Houston and Rap-A-Lot had a very important role in helping to establish the South, as well as Memphis before Atlanta kind of emerged as the hub that it remains today. And Southern rap, I would say, compared to its counterpart, the West Coast or on the East Coast, is kind of, it's more laid back. It's having a lot of fun. Well, fun in the more, I guess, easily legible sense. All of hip hop is obviously having fun no matter where it is. But Southern rap in general is like very, like I would say it's more accessible. And a lot of people have taken that to mean like not as complicated or sophisticated, but it's anything but. It's so like beautiful and manifold, just like the South. And the South as a region is gigantic, and so every place like within hip-hop has its own like flavor. And so the Southern rap as a whole kind of becomes this melting pot of like Houston, Memphis, Miami, like even smaller cities in like Mississippi or Alabama, kind of all converging to make this sound and culture and flavor that, you know, can't even be defined as, you know, trap music, which is what most people know it as today, but has been so many things and currently is so many things.
One moment that many writers, I think, have said stands out in the canon was the ascent of the Atlanta rapper T.I., who proclaimed himself the king of the South. And in 2003, way back then, he released the album called Trap Music, putting the term into the zeitgeist. Let's take a listen to a bit of the song Rubber Band Man off of that album.
We're in the age, y'all. Tell us how to respect. I N and M I A, y'all. Trying to keep it professional. Cause all this torn wrestling finna have me snapping. I'm telling you. From the bottom up to Duval. Pack a lacket and new y'all. And everybody showing me, Lord. It's when the you all.
Writer Maurice Garland wrote for the project, obviously music about trapping and the word trap itself existed long before this 2003 release, but no one, even in Atlanta, was rooting their entire musical identities in the idea so deep that they would go so far as to name their album after it, the album Trap Music. So can you talk about T.I. a little bit and how dedicated he was to the genre and how he advanced it?
Yeah, of course. So up till now, we've kind of been talking about trap music as like a sound, which is like those 808s, the hi-hats, that sort of thing. But back when T.I. released trap music, it was also very much about the subject matter, which the trap is, of course, a place where people are selling drugs and making their living that way. And so it kind of spawned this music that was specifically about and based on the experiences of people trying to survive through trapping. And so that became like central to trap music. And you get rappers like Young Jeezy, Gucci Mane, a whole subgenre within a subgenre almost around the mid-2000s that just became an ecosystem within its own right. And so people kind of latched onto the sound that you also heard from T.I. And DJ Toomp at that time, and just kind of extracted the sound away from the subject matter. And so now we have the trap sound. But back then, it was very much the sound and the subject matter paired up in a way that people just kind of weren't accustomed to hearing.
And it went by real fast in that clip we played for people who hadn't heard it before. But in that clip, T.I. was shouting out not only fans in New York and L.A., but fans in the A, meaning Atlanta, Duval, a county in Florida, Kakalaki. Did you pick up the word Kakalaki, folks, which is slang for North and South Carolina? Now rappers in L.A. or New York will shout out neighborhoods, but Southern rappers are shouting out entire regions of the country. So there's a little bit of that. Let's take a phone call. Max in Flatbush, you're on WNYC. Hi, Max.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I was just calling in because I remember watching this Migos interview from a few years ago, back when the Migos flow was like everything that everyone was talking about. And they had said that they found the Migos flow at the bottom of Africa. They were like, we found it. We found the Migos flow. That somebody found it at the bottom of Africa. And it was a little bit of a joke, but also I'm a drum teacher. I'm not of African descent, but I know that I've seen African drummers on the internet and in person remark that a lot of what they were doing was pulling from a lot of West African drumming traditions that are like, you know, probably centuries old at least. Like, for example, I know you have mentioned the triplet flow where they would go like 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. You know, something that you would see would be a lot more sort of playing with that, or like emphasizing words instead of it being like 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. It would be like 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. So like emphasizing in groups of two or emphasizing in groups of four, and also switching between the triplets and the duplets, like having the triplets and the regular sort of eighth note, 16th note duple flow kind of coexisting at the same time, which isn't really something that like the previous iterations of the you know, so-called triplet flow had been doing. So it is kind of interesting. It's very new, but I think that there's also like elements that are very, very old in what they were doing too.
Right. So rhythm in three juxtaposed with a rhythm in two, a little Migos music theory there from Max in Flatbush. Kiana in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kiana.
Hey, Brian. First of all, this segment is one of the reasons why this show is my favorite. Just the transition into Takeoff is the best. But out of the Migos, he was always my favorite because his flow was just a bit more unique in the way that he carried himself. He was just calm, real humble, laid back, but would spit like amazingly. And it's just really sad to see someone who just wasn't about nonsense be tragically taken away before he got really time to shine with his new album coming out with his uncle and stuff. It was really, really heartbreaking.
Thank you. Thank you for your call and that short tribute. Brianna, we were talking about how much of a defining characteristic Southern pride is in trap music, and it's something that comes up in so many of the more recent Migos songs that have hit the mainstream. Let's take a listen to a little bit of the song T-Shirt from 2017's breakthrough album, Culture.
I'ma feed my family, ain't no way around it, family. Ain't gonna never let up, got said show my talent, show young, with the ammo, working with the hammer, talking country grammar, straight out North Atlanta.
Straight out North Atlanta. North side of Atlanta, obviously. That's Takeoff referencing country grammar here, the debut studio album by St. Louis rapper Nelly. It was one of those references, and that goes back to the year 2000. How much do you think Southern rap is seen as a monolith in popular culture, and what argument would you make against that?
Yeah, I think with how popular trap music has become, people have kind of began to believe that Southern rap is only trap music when that's never been the case. It just so happens to be the South's greatest export in terms of rap contributions. But the South is not at all a monolith. As I mentioned earlier, it's a gigantic region with several major cities that make it up. And so all of those cities, even the smaller ones, have their own cultures and flavors and things that they do. And I think the biggest misconception is that there's not, you know, what we would call more traditional lyricists in the South that you might would associate with the West or the East Coast. And that's simply not true. There's all kinds of music coming out of the South, all kinds of hip hop coming out of the South. It might just require you to dig a little deeper, but for sure, Southern rap could never be a monolith any more than Southern people could be a monolith.
And you write about how Southern rappers, while feeling all that pride, have been maligned by rappers from the East and West Coast historically. You wrote, for decades, the East Coast cultural hegemony, which delineates the rap South as Southern rap as inferior, has been upheld and largely uninterrogated, most quantifiably by the media. So why has the genre been seen as inferior, even by other rappers?
I think just because of the way it sounds, it's Southern people tend to not be super self-serious, but that doesn't, you know, mean that they aren't thinking about things or intellectual. It's just a mode of expression. Typically, even in general, people hear Southern accents and kind of assume a level of ignorance. And none of that is true. And so the music kind of reflects accordingly. There are obviously an abundance of Southern accents, but even just the approach to Southern rap in terms of the instrumentation, the beats that are selected tend to be, you know, have a little more swing, a little more bounce.
Subject matter. No, I was just going to say something about the beats, since you raised that, because Migos have popularized dances. So it has something to do with that, the dab, a gesture that kind of looks like you're sneezing into your elbow with one arm and saluting with the other, for people to know that move. So that's part of the beat, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Dancing has been a huge part of hip hop since the beginning, but There was certainly an era in the 2000s of like Soulja Boy and Crank That and the Pool Palace and Walk It Out and Swag Surfing, the Dougie, and all these things that were just kind of coming out of the South that just were basically just people like trying to have a good time and not trying to take life so seriously. And I think after that era, people were just kind of like decided that all Southern rappers are unserious, all Southern rappers are anti-intellectual, and it's just simply not the case. It was just, you know, what really people outside of the South have latched onto from the South.
And you write about how Soulja Boy, who you just mentioned, revolutionized the way the Southern rap genre could exist on the internet. Way back in 2007, he released the song Crank That with an accompanying dance that went viral on the internet. So let's take a listen to a bit of that song, a few seconds, and maybe jog some people's memories and make them remember their jogs.
Haters wanna be me, Soulja Boy, I'm the man. They be looking at my neck, saying it's the rubber band, man. Why me do it? Damn, let it to.
And so in our last minute, Brianna, there are so many more moments that you've helped to organize for The South Got Something to Say that we won't have time to get into. But as we reflect on the life of Takeoff, who, again, for listeners who don't know him, don't know what happened this week, he was tragically shot and killed on Tuesday in Houston at the age of 28. What do you think his legacy will be musically in the genre? We have about 30 seconds.
Takeoff will be remembered as an incredible rapper, stylist. He and along with Migos revolutionized the genre. They revolutionized how rap could sound, how people could flow. And that's, you know, that's forever. Rap has been changed even in the course of his life. He hopefully, you know, saw his legacy and saw how he influenced and inspired entire generations of rap. And he will continue to do that, even and especially since he is gone.
Going out with a little Missy Elliott in the background. We leave it there with Brianna Younger, freelance music writer and editor. In addition to bylines in The New Yorker, Washington Post, Rolling Stone, in 2020 she led a team of music critics and scholars in creating a canon of Southern rap called The South Got Something to Say, a celebration of Southern rap. Thank you so much for coming on this week.
Thank you for having me.